Stop, stop, stop. Hang on.
Separate of you.
No, hang on. I had to start recording so that I could get this for part of our podcast. Please start from the top.
So, kids just grew feet and walked away?
They grew feet.
I was walking out and we were hearing meows and we looked over and next thing we knew there was four kittens just like galloping through the whole entire living room. And Wanda or Wilhelm, whichever you pick.
Wanda.
Respect
her pronouns.
Trying to herd them like sheep. And the moment my cat broke his room, he's been chasing them and trying to lick them as fast as he can.
Family's first outing!
Two of them in the corner just like curled up on top of each other.
Is it the twins? They're inseparable.
No, one's all black and the other one's dick-face.
Dick-face? He said that is not good to country.
It's all black with, like, a little white nose, but
yeah.
It's faced like a dick and balls, so it's a little
so dick you
face.
Mean, it's, I've been calling him Mini Monster, but yeah, sure.
Dick face Ricks as well.
I've been calling it twins, Mini Monster, and Boots.
So, do I move kittens? Do I leave kittens?
No, let mama, let mama be mama, that's fine.
That's what I figured. I figured she got some.
I'm hella fucking impressive, because it's a full ass... like obstacle course to get them out of the corner of my bedroom.
I don't know if she took them out or I don't know if they wandered out, but they're just chilling.
Okay, let them chill.
They're all corralled and they're all like in the corner so they can't get under the couch and they can't get out of the corner that they're kind of in, so.
That's fine.
I figure they're fine.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah.
But I hope you look forward to coming home to that.
I can't wait.
Just so you know, Monster is bathing all of them profusely.
Gross.
That is adorable.
I know, I thought so.
He's like, finally my turn.
Well then, that was a fun way to start our episode. In case you didn't know this is Casual Casualties. Where we talk about casualties?
Casualties.
Welcome back. What episode are we on now?
I don't know. I lost count. But that terrible audio quality is my little brother on speakerphone. Literally, as I was going to hit record, he called me.
Every time.
Alright, well, I'll catch y'all later. Bye.
Alrighty, I love you. Bye.
Love you too.
Alright, so yeah. There's our kitten update, apparently.
They are running free.
Like, right before I got here, I pulled all four of them out of their little nook, and I sat them on the dog bed that's in my bedroom that I had to move near the nook so that Otto could stay.
You showed them, look, there's a world outside of this world that you think you know.
Well, like, I have, like, a little, like, half wall of cardboard built up, so they had to climb.
Or push their way through.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Big crafty.
But, like, 3 days ago... They couldn't walk. They were wobbly. They were like belly scooching.
They grew feet.
And walked away. Well, like, of course the asshole had to lead with that instead of just saying, hey, by the way, everything's fine.
Like, they're fine. Everything's safe. We're good.
All by themselves.
They just sent me a Snapchat. She corralled him so that they're like chilling by the cat tree.
All by themselves.
So cute.
Look at him.
I love that he's like, my turn.
Family's first outing. Look at how cute.
Look at you. They're so cute. They're so fluffy.
Oh my god.
I like how the adult cats are like, no, what up?
And the kittens are like, what's going on? I'm so confused. So yeah. It's fucking ridiculous, but it's... Look at, I have a warning on my laptop
for the
outside temperature. It is 9 o'clock at night right now, and my laptop is warning me that it's 110 degrees outside.
Yay for Arizona.
My watch is only telling me that's 100 degrees, but same day.
And my phone says 108.
So we're somewhere between 100 and 110 degrees at 9 o'clock at night right now. So, and we are cooped up in the corner of a brick house with no fan on because we love you guys. And we don't want to fuck up your audio quality for you. All 12 of you.
You're welcome. All 12 of you. We love you. Tell your friends.
I woke up this morning and was like, alrighty, I'm just gonna kind of casually add to the 2 pages of research that I have, and I accidentally turned it into 5. Yeah, this case is gonna be somewhat on par with, not quite, it's not quite as ridiculous, I think, as Lacey Peterson, but it's going to be somewhat on par as far as just, like, the twisty-turny kind of bits about it. So, yeah.
There's twists. There's turns.
Okay, so my fiancé, I love him so much, but he is fucking ridiculous. He told me today, he was like, yeah, it's just really ridiculous that they had to change the rule about the door. And I'm like, what? It's like, at work, we're not allowed to leave the side door unlocked anymore before we open to, like, employees in. Didn't I tell you about that? And I was like, no. Why would you? Whatever. Like, why?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I mean, after the machete guy. And I'm like, Hold up.
What?
Didn't I tell you about this? On Friday, there was the guy with the machete. And I'm like,
excuse me?
Huh? What? He was at work. And at the Circle K up the street, you know, the ghetto-looking shit, there was a man, and this is me thinking this part, high on his fucking ass!
With a machete.
With a machete, who was standing on top of the Circle K sign, hitting it with a machete. Now, this sign has been hit by multiple cars, and is tilted to the side, and like, ready to fall. He was on top of it. What? Hitting it with a machete.
And it wasn't falling over? Did it fall
so
over?
So then the cops got called, obviously. And then he turned around and ran.
Obviously.
So he ran through a parking lot, down a hill, up another hill, into another parking lot, around the police station. Because, I don't know about where you're from, but where I'm from, all of our libraries are built into police stations because county-owned land.
Yeah.
So, they're either built into or built on the same lot as a police station. Almost every single one of our libraries is, I think, except for, like, 2 of them. And this library is, the building is connected. Like, in order to get into the side door of the library, you have to walk past the door of the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
And so this man, running from the cops, is now trying to get into the police building.
Oh my god.
And Kyle did not tell me any of this for days.
Oh my god.
Like, bruh, you don't think
when I ask you, how was your day, honey?
Yeah, no, legitimately. And I was like, So when you said you had a mellow day on Friday, Machete Man counts as mellow?
Is that just normal for you guys?
I mean
for like,
he works in an area where it is not illegal to watch porn on a public computer so long as the privacy screen is up.
That's so weird.
And they have to kind of somewhat, like, it's not in the rule book, but they have to add the stipulation that you're not touching yourself while you're watching it.
So it's like, why are you going to watch porn if you can't even, I mean...
For the plot.
For the plot! Does the pizza man really love this girl?
For the plot.
My goodness.
I mean, yeah.
Bro.
Public library people.
Pretty mellow Friday.
Pretty mellow Friday. So yeah.
Jeez.
That's cool.
I like how that didn't come up at all.
Not until not once.
Oh, did I tell you?
Oh, I didn't tell you. I was like, the fuck?
No, you didn't.
Machete man.
Machete man. The fuck? Safety. Safety first.
Oh my god. So yeah. typical Friday, guys. I mean, don't get me wrong. I went into my work off the clock the other day to go do something on the computer, and while I was standing there, I watched a man so high he could not walk straight stand at the counter and tell my boss that my boss is God. So... You good? Just chug
God
the whole
thing. God damn it!
Just chug the whole thing now so that you stop getting alcohol through your nose.
Just chug the whole thing now.
It's not going on my nose, but it's on my boobs! Childhood, like, raggedy, well-loved, threw the washer machine a few times, left in the rainstorm, had a dog chewing on it at some point. Teddy bear. Out of nowhere.
You leave blueberry alone.
So what is yours?
It's mine.
So she just pulled this thing out of nowhere as it proceeds to rub its face on my cleavage.
Diddy!
To clean up the alcohol I spilt on myself because I was trying to drink it and laugh at Becca. Your childhood toy just motorboated my ass.
Like, the most action blueberry's ever seen.
Well, first of all, I know that's a lie because he came from somewhere in your bed. And you have a child.
Okay, but for like the last 3 years, he's been in Luna's room.
Aww,
so I was like, yeah, I'll give him to Luna because I fell on the bed this long. And then recently I wasn't feeling good and I was home alone and I wanted to cuddle with my blueberry. So I was like, and then Luna was like, hey, that's mine. I was like, no, bud, this is mine. I've had this since before you were born. My brother gave this to me for Christmas. Like, I don't even know.
Which brother?
My older brother. Yeah. Like 2000, no, I don't know what year. I know I was like 6, maybe. So whenever the Game Boy Color came out.
Aww. He's like, here, now, leave me alone.
You know, I was like, I've had it ever since. But yeah, so I was feeling good, and I told Luna, no, it's mine. And now she goes, oh, you're blueberry. Here you go.
Aww.
It's really cute. He just motorboated
it.
So
yep.
You're welcome.
Get all my nervous popping out in one big session so I can edit it later.
Oh,
wow. It's not popping today. So, are you ready to hear my story? No children were harmed in the making of this episode. So.
Good. When I'm looking into, lots of children died.
The fuck are you looking into?
Have you seen the news recently where they found, like unmarked graves of, like, 215 kids?
No.
In Canada? You haven't seen or heard about that yet?
No. I make a point to avoid the news.
So I saw it, I ran into it from TikTok.
Hmm.
So,
you need a large
sheet. More than 200 bodies found at Indigenous school in Canada.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah. And some of the kids that survived going to that school, like, have told their stories.
That's scary and exciting.
Pretty fucking terrible.
Jesus Christ. Okay, cool. So, my story starts out in New York, in Albany.
Albany.
Albany. So, Monday, November 15th. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Instead of going into backstory, I'm just going to jump straight into the story itself. Because, like, the detective work kind of explains backstory.
Good.
So we're just going to roll with it.
Nice.
We're going to do it a little differently. So Monday, November 15th, 2004, Peter Porco.
Peter Parker?
I legit was, like, hoping you would make a joke about that. Because, like, all I could think of is is the Into the Spider-Verse when there's a spider pig.
Spider-Pig.
Oh, I guess. Is it spider? Is it? Is there is an animal in that, isn't there? Yes, there is a pig in that one. Okay.
I haven't seen that movie yet.
Am I thinking about The Simpsons, maybe? No.
I just watched it a few times.
Peter Porco is a 52-year-old court clerk for the Albany, New York courthouses.
Nice.
And on this particular morning, he did not make it into work, and he did not call, and that was very unlike him.
Rut-row.
Rut-row, George. So his coworkers couldn't contact him, so a police officer was sent to this two-story home. So Peter shares his home with his wife, Joan Porco, and she works as a speech therapist at a local school. They have two sons together, but they're both already grown and moved out. The oldest named Jonathan, who is enlisted in the military and at the time was on a nuclear submarine, so...
Okay.
Christopher, the youngest, was a student enrolled in the University of Rochester, which was over 200 miles away.
Jeez.
So, officer named Michael Hart arrived around 11:35-ish, and he looked into the window of the front, like, the front window when nobody answered the door, and immediately saw a complete blood blast. Blood blast, blood blast, blood blast, blood blast, blood blast.
Yikes. No, thank you.
Yeah. There's also a key in the door.
Huh. That's weird.
That's suspicious. So, it wasn't all that hard for Michael, as well as all of his backup and the paramedics, to get into the house. When they get in, they find Peter Porco unconscious and on the ground,
yes.
Dead, with multiple, what looks like axe wounds.
Fuck.
So, Detective Chris Bowdish was part of the team that responded to this case, and he apparently knew the family previously from a few, like, personal connections, as well as he took the lead on a burglary case that they had, where a few laptops and other expensive personal effects were stolen. So, while searching this house and, you know, following the blood trail, they find Joan, his wife, in her bed. But she's not dead.
Oh, no.
She was alive and coherent.
Was she injured?
Yes. She sustained 3 major axe blows to her face.
Fuck.
If Becca sounds slightly muffled, it's because she's burying her face in blueberry. Her emotional support stuffy.
Why have I not had him this whole time?
I don't know. But you look insanely comfortable.
I am.
Okay. So, she's in her bed, drenched in her own blood, with multiple severe axe wounds to her head. Again, she is alive and coherent.
Cut, girl.
And in Chris's words, she holds up her hand and motions for him to walk over to her. And in front of multiple witnesses, he begins to ask Joan questions. Now, the first responders have already gotten her to kind of coherently understand their commands. So, like, wiggle your toes, stop wiggling your toes, straighten out your arm. Like, she is able to understand and respond to basic commands.
Okay.
And so, like, she is coherent. And he begins to ask her multiple questions. And she could not talk because her jaw is completely severed. But she's able to nod yes or shake her head no. And so this man, based off of his immediate suspicions from the house, noting that it wasn't ransacked, noting that nothing major of value was missing, things like that, he decides that this is likely an inside job, like someone who knows them, someone who's familiar with them, etc. So he asks her, "Can you hear me?" And she would nod her head yes. And so he asks her quite a few questions, And finally, he gets to the question, does she know her attacker? And she says yes. If they were a family member, and she says yes. And then when they asked her if it was her oldest son, Jonathan, she shakes her head no. So this is one of the first questions he asks her where she has a no as a response. So he found it to be very important that she says no, because she it's showing that she knows that it understands what he's asking and is showing a distinction yes from no.
Yeah, she's
Not just
understanding
shaking
yes
her
to
head yes to
everything.
figure something, like, you know?
Yeah.
So he then asks her if it was her son, Christopher. And she nods her head yes and begins to kind of grunt, like, yes, abso-fucking-lutely it was him.
Oh
Now, remember, it
no.
is important to note that Joan has extensive head trauma from three axe wounds. She does survive, but in this survival, her jaw is completely severed, her brain was exposed in a few areas, and she ends up losing one of her eyes.
Okay.
So, it's understandable to, but like, it's believable that she may have been in shock and therefore not,
Like,
like,
not processing what her
yeah.
body
So
was.
it's, I
Like,
don't
her
know.
body wasn't on the same page yet.
Yeah, it's shoddy. The concrete factual evidence known to the detectives is the attacker entered the home sometime after 2 a.m. using a Heida key that the family kept in a flower pot near the front door. This
Don't keep
person,
spare keys like that, guys.
like, quote unquote, disabled the alarm by smashing it.
Fuck. He disabled it. He just destroyed it.
They went into the garage and grabbed an axe and then made their way up to the bedroom. Once in the bedroom, this attacker stood on Joan's side of the bed and first attacked Peter on the other side of the bed. So he's like, re this person is reaching over Joan to deal 16 axe wounds to Peter
Dang.
into his head, neck area, and then three to Joan's head. This attacker then leaves the axe on the floor at the foot of the bed, and before they leave, they cut the phone line. And then they just leave. They do not steal anything. They do not ransack, like, nothing.
The fuck?
So this person came in, killed or thought they killed this couple, and then just leaves. Which leads the detectives again to kind of believe that it may have been an inside job, or it may have
Personal.
been for a specific, like, personal
Okay.
reason. Okay. So, the real kicker to this case is at some point in time after receiving 16 blows to his head, neck, shoulder, and chest area,
Got up.
he gets up. Peter gets out of bed and manages to mosey his way into the bathroom where he stands at the sink facing the mirror.
What is that like? What's that like?
And they know this because of the blood patterns. Like, they
Yeah.
know that he
Yeah,
got
you
up,
follow
he's.
the blood trail.
But they don't know how coherent he was.
Yeah.
The theory is that his muscle memory just kind of took over and his brain began putting him through the motions of his morning routine.
That's so bizarre.
So, like, he stood at the mirror
Like brushing his
as if he
teeth,
were.
shaving,
Yes.
whatever.
So, I didn't find anything on if he was, like, actually brushing his teeth or shaving,
Pretty
but he
sure it's
stood
just
there,
going through the
like, going
motions.
through the motions. He then stumbles down the hallway and down the stairs into the kitchen, where he aimlessly wanders through the kitchen, starts to unload dishes, pulls out his lunchbox, opens up the fridge, like, is doing all of these, like, mundane tasks with all of this trauma.
With 16 axe wounds.
At some point in time, he wanders to the front door, opens the front door, sticks his head out. Don't know how long he was there for, but he was long enough that he bled on the front porch and on the front door. He shuts the door, takes a few more steps towards the stairs, and then finally collapses and dies.
Damn.
Like, holy shit!
He really accomplished a lot before he actually died.
Like, the brain is scary.
The brain is crazy.
Absolutely like, traumatizingly scary. What? Like, holy shit.
Can you imagine looking in the mirror yourself? Like, if you could even comprehend what you were looking at? Or, like, what had happened? Like...
Dude. I'll tell you what, though. Like, that's definitely gonna be in my next nightmare.
Oh my god, yeah.
Dude.
Bro.
So, yeah. That is...
That is insane.
Makes my stomach turn just a little bit.
That's a zombie. Yes, please.
Ooh, that was a good audio.
I was peeing. Like...
We're supposed to be cheersing, but it's not making the pretty clink sound.
Right.
Oh, there we go. Okay, sorry, I need a little bit more alcohol to deal with that. So, yeah.
Bro.
My body scares me now.
I got a
To be fair though, like people and like I'm sorry guys, I know it always comes back to this, but whatever. People shove watermelon sized things out of their body. This thing will rip them open and it takes them weeks to recover. And then in a year they're like, that was nice. Let's do that again. The fuck is wrong with us as human beings?
You know, it's funny.
And, you know, like, I scared myself. Like, part of the reason why it took me a day or two to recover last time we drank is because at the end of that night, I was like, I could do that. like, people get drunk and they think they can go dance. Or they think they can go get, like, a crazy tattoo or cut their hair, like, whatever, like, be a little wild. I think I could make a human, and I'm just like, ugh.
Maybe I could make a baby.
Maybe I shouldn't drink. That's the right answer in that situation. Okay, now I'm drinking now. Yeah.
Damn. That's so funny.
I sobered the fuck up real quick after that. Not only did I sober...
That's
why I made it to work the next day. I woke up and I'm like, what the fuck did I say last? Oh, hell no!
Unsober me, no. Sober me up now. For some reason, I wanted to add daddy after that. Sober me up now, daddy!
So, Kyle plays this Star Wars game. If I only understand so much about it, it is a tabletop game.
RPG.
That it takes little figurines and cards and lots of things that I don't understand. But he has a character that has a move called Force Choke. And... Yes, and he was telling me all about this character and how good they are and how they have this thing called a Force Choke. And I say, okay, cool, but can they use the Force to make the victim say... Harder, daddy. When they use the Force Choke. And he goes, well, they do now!
Oh, harder, daddy.
I would like to note that that is not in my vocabulary, nor is it in his. Just for personal reasons, just in case any family is watching this. That's not a typical part of my vocabulary, nor is it his.
Same.
But when he's playing RPGs, like, hey, you get to be the person you're not usually, so. We'll use that Force Choke. Oh my god.
Force Choke me, daddy.
I don't want to know.
Oh my god, no. This is not. Definitely not.
Fine, but he has to dress up as Padme.
I don't have daddy issues, I have mommy issues.
So. Bruh. Let's cheers to that, huh? We have issues, but at least they're mommy issues and not daddy issues. Which means we have body image issues.
Yep. That's why we're not strippers.
But not kink issues.
Yeah. Plenty of kink. No issues there.
Oh my god, Becca! It's a good thing this already isn't a family-friendly topic.
Yeah, it really is. I don't think I could do family-friendly.
We work for a cult.
Yeah.
One of our cult's redeeming qualities is the fact that a large majority of our coworkers are alcoholics. Whether they know it or not.
They're either alcoholics, stoners, or cokeheads.
And then there's me.
Yeah. Alcoholics.
Ugh! I forgot about that part. I got so swept up in the coke and the weed, I was like, but that's not, I don't.
Like, I don't do any of these things.
I need to quit.
I didn't know about the cocaine thing for a while, and then I heard.
It makes sense.
I was hearing more and more stories, and I was like, huh. Never would have thought of that.
Makes more sense.
Weird. Especially those. Anywho's.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Axe dead murder people. Being undead.
I don't know why, but axe murder is just tickle my fancy. I know a lot. I know about a lot of axe murders.
You watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
What about the Villisca axe murders? Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I like the New Orleans one.
Yes.
I don't know why. That
just one's like,
he had style.
That man was classy.
It's like, play jazz or I'll murder you.
Not to mention the fact that he was a celestial being from hell.
Yeah.
Who would fly over the town.
Oh my god, I love that story too because I had watched American Horror Story first, and then I don't remember which murder podcast it was. I think My Favorite Murder and Morbid have both done it at this point.
Yes, they both have.
But the first time I heard it, and I was like, wait, this is a real thing? Like, somebody actually did this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out a lot of the stuff in American Horror Story was based off of real things.
Honestly, I've watched the Asylum one of the American Horror Story. Mm-hmm. I skipped over the first one because the first one was spoiled for me.
Aww.
Yeah.
I like, it's a good storyline, though.
It is, but the, I don't know. It's just, it was spoiled for me, and I was like, meh. I want to watch the Coven one.
The Coven one is really good.
When I Have a Life Again.
It's a really good one. And then there's, like, the Apocalypse one was very, made me very uncomfortable at points. Because there's like, yeah, I won't spoil it.
If there's rapey shit, I'm not watching.
Oh, no, it's not rapey.
Okay. Anyway.
Murder.
Moida. Actually, let's talk about some light and fluffy stuff first. Let's go back to the family background. So, we kind of already know right now that Joan has implicated her son, Christopher, not to be confused with the detective Chris.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, Christopher, and his older brother,
Liam,
Jonathan. Should have guessed. Basic ass bitch names. Okay, so, both of the sons, Christopher and Jonathan, competed in high school sports, they had good grades, a lot of, like, the family's coworkers, their peers, their neighbors, everyone just kind of referred to them as, like, the happy all-American family, which, I don't know about you, is an immediate red flag.
Yes.
I would like to have a friendly reminder, another all-American idea invention, like this was entirely us Americans, include commercially available cigarettes. So, next time someone wants to tell you that all they want is that cute little picket fence and the all-American family, run. Run.
Don't just run, sprint.
Why? Because you don't have the stamina to continue running?
Yeah, probably. Just fucking sprint as far as you can.
No, actually what you need to do is skip.
Skip!
Because skipping...
Because who the fuck's gonna murder you?
No. So, okay. The one and only time when Kyle's history information is getting me anywhere in an argument. So, skipping takes less energy,
And it does not wind you as fast as running or sprinting.
This is true.
But it gets you there just as fast as sprinting.
I'm never going to
sprint so, in my life. And so, the old school, I can't remember if it's Greek or Roman, I think it's Greek, soldiers would skip. It's better on your knees, too. Never... If I had known this in high school, I swear to fucking God, I would have skipped every single mile. I don't care how it makes me look. I don't like being all red-faced and sweaty. I hate hurting to breathe. I dislike that weird spiky feeling I get in my throat and lungs when I do anything more than 10 steps of a run.
Yep.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah.
I'm skipping for my life.
I will not run for my life.
Skip,
I will
skip for my life. Yeah, how is a bitch supposed to shank you in the back when you're skipping?
That's such a harder target to hit.
Also, you're walking down the avenue, and this basic-ass bitch is running. You're like, yeah. You're walking down the avenue, and this person is skipping. A grown-ass adult is skipping. Are you going to be like, must be late for her fucking... must be late to get her nails done. Like, no, you're gonna look at me and be like,
what the fuck
mental deficiency do you have? Which means there will be witnesses who can pinpoint my location when I go missing.
Because they're gonna remember the girl that was fucking skipping.
Yeah.
Because, what? Okay, I gotta go pee.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Here.
Oh my God, Blueberry does not need to listen with your headphones. Jesus Christ. And we're back.
Woohoo! Tea break. Thank you, alcohol. That was my pee break.
You can have the rest of this. It's giving me a headache. Okay, so. Aside from the fact that Joan definitely, like, blamed her son right away, there were a few other leads, such as there was a man who lost a custody battle in a court case that Peter was involved in because he worked with the judicial system.
But he was, like, a lawyer.
And so, like, this guy vowed revenge. And so they're like, oh, I mean, hey, you gotta cover your bases, right?
Yeah.
So when, like, Peter's coworkers were asked, they're like, well, this guy was not happy.
He was an unsatisfied customer.
So the police checked it out, and this guy did. My brain broke, guys.
Same.
This guy did have a solid alibi, so they're like, well, moving on. This, and I think this is my favorite theory. There was a great uncle of Peter that supposedly had mob links.
What?
And it was theorized that this was an organized mob hit because Frankie the Fireman, was his nickname,
Frankie the Fireman?
Was afraid that Peter was looking to rat him out.
The fuck? Alright, Frankie the Fireman. Are you really a fireman, though? Or do you just start fires?
No, I think, like, firemen, like, axe, like... Because firemen have axes.
See, I'm thinking maybe he's, like, an arsonist, but, like...
Also?
He's, like, a fireman because he starts fires.
Okay, Ray Bradbury, I see you.
Huh?
You ever read that book?
No.
Fahrenheit 451. Add that to your homework list. It's about this big. It's a tiny little book.
Okay, maybe.
It's like 300 pages max. Maybe. It's like it's a nice afternoon. Like, that's it.
A nice afternoon. Do you live into my house with my child? This is my nice afternoon time.
One of these days, I'm just going to take your child from me for an entire day, and I'm going to sit you down with just the book and be like, fucking deal with it.
Oh my God, can you?
I might. I'm tempted. Depends. Do you want to call for a tour? So yeah, not gonna lie, that's my favorite theory, and it seems pretty legit.
Like Frankie the Firefighter.
Fireman.
Fireman. Right, because he's not fighting fires. He's probably starting them.
And so what makes me concerned is, like, if they knew that this guy existed, then they knew that this guy had connections, why is this guy not in jail already? Because he was a known mobster.
They probably didn't have anything concrete to...
Truth.
...lock him up for. Because a lot of times they won't even waste their time if, like, they know they won't get a guilty conviction. Truth. They can get out on anything.
So, here's another really fucked up aspect of this story. Before investigators could seek out Christopher, the youngest son, a reporter called him in his dorm and was like, "Hey, do you have any comment on your parents' murder?" And in his own words, Christopher dropped the phone and was in complete shock and disbelief.
Oh no, that's how he found out?
That's how he found out that his parents...
I fucking hate reporters sometimes!
And so the reporter said, "Did you know that your parents were murdered?" And so that leads him to believe that both of his parents are now dead.
Oh no.
And there is a recording of him, once he gained his composure, he called 911. And they're like, where's your emergency? And he goes, I just was called by a reporter and told that my parents have been murdered. Is, like, can I get some information on that?
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know who else to turn to.
And so they could not go over anything with him on the phone, but they asked him for his location and his information, and they sent out a detective to his dorm. And they used the word dorm, but it wasn't really a dorm. It's kind of like our frat house.
Beautiful.
There was 10 guys living in this place.
Ew.
There was not enough air freshener in the world.
And it probably smelled like a high school locker room.
I don't want to know.
So it probably had, like...
There is a reason why I do not willingly spend any time on any college campus. Yeah. Ever. Yeah. I'll just take my classes online. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
So, but with this meeting with a detective, Christopher finds out that his mother is in fact still alive, but in critical condition. So Christopher contacts his uncle and they drive down to the hospital together, and he only barely sees his mother for a few moments. Like,
that was not me this time.
That's unbelievable.
She's unbelievable. That's you.
Anyways. So.
So he visits his mom in the hospital.
He visits his mom
in the hospital. And then she dies?
And then they immediately have to wheel her out for emergency surgery. So he sees her momentarily with all of these wires and all of these tubes, and she's all bloody and gashed up, and, like, it's just.
Like, her jaw is severed.
Yeah.
So she can't talk.
And he only sees her momentarily, like, barely. And apparently in this time, when he sees her, he breaks down, throws himself to the ground, and begins to cry.
Yeah.
This is seen by multiple witnesses. He's really distraught by what he's about, by what he just saw. So.
Oh, no, he did it, didn't he? Okay. He could be a really fucking good actor. I don't know.
You're ridiculous, like, Becca.
It's always the person you don't think it is.
So. Well, during questioning, Christopher... Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped. So, there is multiple witnesses saying that he was visibly upset and crying. And he goes from the hospital straight to the police station with the detectives, where they had questioned him for 6 hours.
What the fuck?
Remember, though, like, the detective had confirmation from the mother that he was the culprit.
Oh, it was him that she said yes to?
Yes.
Oh, man, that poor guy.
Yes.
Aw, that's terrible.
Yes. So, Christopher...
That's poor guy.
He endures 6 hours of questioning, and, like, when media asks him later why, he was like, "Look, like, I know time is really important in these things, so I wanted to do everything I could to help them out, and if, you know, 6 hours of questioning is what it took, then that's what it took. I wanted to make sure that my parents
were..." No, they're trying to question you for 6 hours so that they can force a confession out of you, bud.
Well, they never got a confession.
Good job not breaking down, Christopher.
So during this questioning, they asked Christopher where he was that night. And so he says that he did not leave campus, that he was actually asleep on the couch in the living room of the dorm that he shared with 9 other boys. Seems solid, right?
Yeah, you have 9 other people to vouch for you.
Except for, like, they didn't.
Were they, like, drunk?
So all of these boys...
They didn't want to get caught.
Were out. We're not out. All of these boys were, like, out and about in the middle of the dorm playing games until 3 a.m.
Boys.
Boys. How do they work?
That's how they do.
Dude, okay. So my now fiance asked me out September 19th of 2011. And he, to this day, if you, especially, like, if you ask him, he will still admit it. And he says, if Skyrim didn't come out until 2 months later, we would not be a thing. So, like, if Skyrim came out any earlier, we never would have dated.
Yep.
Because he just would have spent all of his time
playing Skyrim.
Playing Skyrim instead of out and about
with you.
Hanging out with me.
You know, it's really funny. Huh? Makes it extra funny.
Oh no.
Without Skyrim, me and Michael probably would not have even dated.
Are you serious? These boys, like, you know they're fucking brothers.
Because my ex was always playing Skyrim.
Oh no.
We would have plans to go out on dates. I would come to pick him up. He'd be playing Skyrim. And he'd be like, hold on, I just need to finish this. 3 hours later, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going home now.
Oh my god, that's fucking funny.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, no, we started dating in September. Skyrim came out in November?
Yeah.
So, had Skyrim come out any earlier, I would not have a fiancé, soon-to-be husband.
Yep.
Boys. How do they work?
How do they work? Yeah. And then I remember when me and Michael first moved in together, there'd be a few nights where it'd be like, I would have gone to bed, and then he'd be playing Skyrim or something. Probably Skyrim.
Yeah, those boys.
And then I would come out of the room at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'd be like, what are you doing? And he'd be like, oh, I'm just playing a game. You know it's like 3 in the morning, right? No, it's not. It's only... Oh, shit. I'll be right in.
That's funny.
Yeah. How do they do it?
How do they work?
Because I get to, like, a point where I'm like, sure, I can play a game until, like, 11 or 12, but I'm going to start falling asleep on it. I'll be like... Even if it's interesting, I'm going to fall asleep.
It's a good thing you're not on the same schedule as me.
Yeah, oh my god. I would not. I don't think I'd be able to.
I don't know how I'm able to.
It's like, it absolutely amazes me, people who are able to do it. Because I'm like, I could never.
Yeah.
I could never.
Yeah. Yeah. So, 9 boys. They were all up and out and about. And all I got was playing games. So I don't know if they're playing fucking beer pong. I don't know if they're playing video games.
What year was it?
FIFA 500, I don't fucking know. This was in 2004.
Okay.
So, yeah. They could have been, I don't know. So, none of these people were able
to verify.
To verify where he, there. Yeah.
Because they were all doing their own thing.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Well, you see, the thing is he claims that he was asleep on the couch. And he claims that when he got home, everyone else was already in bed. But he never really had a concrete time for when he got home.
Hmm. And they're saying that they were not in bed. They were up.
Yes. So it's kind of weird and that they did never really cross paths, considering he slept on the couch and not in his own room.
Yeah. I mean, someone could have been having sex up there. Who knows?
With 9 other guys in the same house?
What
girl is willingly gonna walk into that situation?
Not a smart one. Girls.
Those are two separate answers. They do not coincide. Anyways. I have to check it. It's from the kid. No, Aaron is the kid. His girlfriend's the child. She's the one who follows him around eating food.
It's adorable. Oh my goodness.
Right there. I don't know if you can count little wigworms, but all four are sitting right there.
You little eyeballs.
Okay.
They're so cute.
My favorite video of all of them is I have a video of them sleeping, and watch this one's ears.
Aww. Oh my goodness!
I want to keep them so big.
Oh, they're so cute.
I just want one little old black bean.
Oh my goodness!
And I would name it Bean.
Save the beans. Save the beans.
Little bean.
That is so freaking cute.
Okay, we're distracted again. I'm sorry. So yes, to further incriminate Christopher. So Christopher drives a bright yellow
plug bug
Jeep Wrangler. Okay. No, he's not bundling this shit up. A bright yellow Jeep Wrangler, which is an expensive ass vehicle.
Yeah, it is.
So to further kind of incriminate Christopher, the campus security cameras have videos of this very distinct bright yellow Jeep leaving campus at 10:30 p.m.
Huh.
Now, remember, it is 200 miles away from his house. Yeah. From his parents' house, I mean. But they found two separate toll booths in between his campus and his parents' house that remember seeing a yellow Jeep a white male driving the yellow Jeep.
Oh, no.
There's also an information box that holds the security systems, like, information backups and records and everything that's held in the basement of the house that recorded the alarm being disarmed with the master code at 2:14 a.m. That alarm box in the main house of, like, in the main level of the house that was disarmed is the same one that gets smashed.
Weird.
Which kind of makes it sound like somebody used the alarm the code to turn off the alarm.
It and then destroyed it.
And then later on just kind of smashed it up to make it look like
less suspicious.
Yes. So there's that. And there's also an eyewitness from, like, a neighbor who saw a yellow Jeep sitting in the Porco family driveway at 4 a.m. while this neighbor was on their way to work. Seems pretty.
Not looking so great for you, Christopher.
Now, flip that coin around. When Joan recovers from her surgeries, which ended up removing a damaged eye, a part of her skull, and wires her jaw back into place.
Yeah, so her
her shit's rocked.
Gonna be shut for, I think it's like 3 months to a year.
Her shit's rocked.
Yeah.
But once she becomes coherent again. She states, I don't know if she had to write it or what, I don't know, her poor jaw. She states that her initial incrimination of Christopher was incorrect, that she does not remember any of it, and she fully and wholeheartedly believes that her son would never do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, in the moment, she's in shock, she's got all this adrenaline pumping through her. She's got all these injuries that her body isn't fully comprehending yet, probably for survival. Absolutely. And, so it's like, you could, like, I think just take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any witness, just.
Yep.
Yeah, just trauma. The brain does really weird things with trauma.
Exactly. And so,
can't trust your own brain.
Yeah, the defense definitely comes in swinging with this.
With an axe?
You know, she definitely was in shock. And, I mean, yeah, look at what happened to Peter.
Yeah.
Like, he walks around doing his morning routine, not even aware that he's been injured until he is dead on the floor. Like, so, the defense definitely uses that as part of their argument. But with all of this, like, plethora of evidence against Christopher, they kind of have a rebuttal to everything. So, there was absolutely no evidence inside the house to suggest that Christopher was the killer. There was no fingerprints on the axe. There was no bloody footprints or fingerprints, nothing in the hallway, anything that suggests that he was the killer.
Yeah.
Granted, it's his parents' house, so there's definitely going to be some genetic evidence of him having been in the house.
Because it's his family.
But, like, smacking them upside the head with an axe is gonna have blood splatter, right?
True.
When blood gets on the floor, it's not gonna land underneath your feet. It's gonna have, like, a little bit of a
shoe print
issue. Like, yeah, it's gonna be all over you. So, when they decided that he was definitely someone to investigate, they took his Jeep from him. Aww. And they took it apart.
What the fuck?
They took it apart. And did not find any blood. Huh. In his vehicle.
That's weird.
Now.
I think that'll at least sound like AA drop or two.
Another argument to kind of rebuttal the eyewitness that puts a yellow Jeep at the Porco family house. There is another yellow Jeep of a neighbor that lives in that area.
Huh.
So, the argument was that this neighbor really was just trying to be helpful and misremembered. They remembered seeing a yellow Jeep, but they did not, but their brain wanted to be helpful, and they just kind of sandwiched it in the wrong house in their memory.
Yeah.
So, and then again, Joan, rebuked her earlier statement. She is now, during, like, all of the court trials and everything, she is now walking into the courthouse with her son.
Yeah.
In support of her son.
Defending him.
Defending him, exactly. So, there really isn't much here that says that Christopher was the one. Except the fact that when he's at school, he definitely played up pretending to be a rich boy.
Uh-oh.
He told all of his friends this fake story of his grandmother being a rich landowner.
Oh, no.
And how his family owned a cabin in, like, I don't remember where, Aruba? Or some ridiculous shit? I don't know. And so, he played up being this rich boy. He would regularly finance big, extravagant alcohol parties.
Oh, no.
All of this. But where was he getting this money from?
Credit cards.
Well, first of all, remember that obscure case that involved a burglary? With the Porcos, where the detective remembered them?
Yeah.
Well, he was the one who broke into his parents' house to steal their shit, and he got caught selling it on eBay.
Oh, what an idiot.
Christopher also, at one point, forged his parents' signature for his car loan for his super expensive yellow Jeep Wrangler.
Huh.
He also forged their signature for a $31,000 loan for school. And, like, when his father found out, he was furious. And there is a trail of angry emails between Christopher and his father, as well as Christopher and his mother.
Emails.
So, Christopher was fucking broke. And he liked living a high-end lifestyle.
He was, like, negative broke.
He also was flunking out of school. So yes. The prosecutor's theory was that in order to continue his high-end lifestyle, he decided to kill his parents, hoping for the $1.1 million life insurance payout.
Jesus.
Yes.
But did he know about the life insurance?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There is also a blurb of information where he went seeking financial help. And he told the person that he was seeking this help from that he was anticipating gaining a large amount of money in the near future.
No. So wait, when he was like in the hospital, and I was like, he did it, didn't
yes,
he?
You're not and you wrong. Were
like, no, Becca, like he's really upset, and I was like, okay.
Tricked ya!
He was an actor the whole time.
No, he wasn't. He was really upset.
Well, I mean, yeah, your parents are dead. That sucks.
But, he like, was really upset that they lived, like, bud. That wasn't his plan.
Oh. Damn. I'm like, yeah, he's really upset. Like, seeing your mom like that, that's gonna be devastating. Oh no, he's just sad because she's still alive.
But I would like to point out that his father received 16 blows.
Yeah.
His mother received 3. So, you can kind of guess where most of his aggravation and anger lied.
His mom.
100%. We all have mom
issues.
She wanted
him to suffer by killing the father so horribly.
Yeesh. Yeesh.
Sorry.
So, August 2nd, 2006, the prosecution kind of completed its case against Porco. And that's kind of when everything really begins. August 10th, 2006 was the beginning of the jury deliberations, and it did not take them very long to decide that Christopher was found guilty of second-degree murder as well as attempted murder. December 12th, 2006, the judge, Jeffrey Berry, sentences him to 50 years of life on each count.
Dang.
Totaling a minimum of at least 50 years in prison. So even if he gets out on good behavior, it's at least 50 years.
Good.
The judge then states that he fears very much what happened early in the morning hours of November 15th is something that could definitely happen again. He won't be eligible for parole until December 2052.
Damn.
Yep, he tried appealing, but the court rejected the appeal. So it's really, no.
Sorry, bud, you have nothing.
He appealed the Supreme Court as well, and they also refused to hear his case.
Yep, the evidence is stacked in your favor or against you, I guess.
Yep, but I mean, like, the defense did their job. They tried. So there's cameras that have him leaving campus and coming back on campus. So he leaves campus at like 10-something at night, and he doesn't come back on campus until, where did I write it down? He doesn't come back on campus until 8 a.m.
Dang.
When they asked him about it, he says, oh yeah, no, I didn't have a campus parking pass, so during those hours, I'm not allowed to park my car there. So, I was just parking my car off campus, and then I walked back onto campus.
Sure. Likely story.
So, yeah.
Damn, dude.
They also, got his car, coming back from that area. I guess not from that area, but, like, back towards his campus.
Yeah.
On a medical center camera that like faces the street.
Irony.
And so, like, why were you driving over there if you were just parking your car barely off campus? Yeah. But like, no, you did it.
Yeah, man. I wonder if his mom believes he's guilty, or
imagine like knowing that you sat next to your attempted killer throughout the entirety of a court trial.
Yeah, well, see, that's what makes me go back to like when she was freshly injured and, like, in shock and everything, and she said, like, yeah, it was him. It's like, yeah, that's her, like, her body is in survival mode.
Yep.
Like, I know trauma can make you, like, remember things wrong, and, like,
trauma can also make you forget things, which may be why she doesn't remember after the fact.
Because
her brain is trying to protect her.
Yeah, trying to protect her from what actually happened. Yeah. Brain's a crazy thing.
Bruh.
And that's why you should never have kids.
Done. Deal. I'm happy with this answer. Don't do it, guys.
Because then they'll come back and they'll kill you. For your life insurance money. Isn't it weird to think that your life is worth more dead if you have life insurance than you are living.
Kyle likes to regularly joke about how his life insurance policy doesn't fall to me until September.
So you can't murder him until September. Got it.
I literally, like, in the middle, because we were tux shopping for him this morning for the wedding. In the middle of that, I don't remember what I said, but he was like, you don't get nothing until September. And my response was, joke's on you. I already forged your signature on the marriage license, and it's on its way back to, I mailed it back to court.
So you're, like, already married, basically.
And then the guy in the pinstripe suit was looking at us like, are they joking? They're joking. They're joking, right?
They gotta be joking, man. That's the.
And he's like, should I laugh? Like,
murder. The fuck. That's great. I love that. This tag says 1999.
The year my sister was born.
So that was a bad year. Just kidding!
Love you.
I love you, Shane. Maybe.
She listens to True Crime too, I wonder. One of her people that she works with is gonna be like, dude, guess I heard your name on my podcast.
Shane.
That's my new goal.
Anybody. Don't tell her about it, just like.
Well, she vaguely knows that I have a podcast. But I never told her the name of it, I don't think. So, like, that's my new goal, is for someone to be like, Shaylee, is this, are they talking about you?
Because I don't know a lot of Shaylees, so, like.
Yeah, it's a pretty not so, being in the military, though, she tends to go by her last name, because military, and I'm not about to share my last name, so.
Yeah.
She's in the military, she's in the Navy, specifically, she works in the, hospital up in Portsmouth. The military hospital, the big military hospital up in Portsmouth. And she works in the labs. So if anybody knows a lab tech,
named Shaylee.
She's got blonde hair and a hell of a lot of fucking sass.
I believe it.
I need you to tell her that you heard somebody talking about her on this weird true crime podcast. Please, this is your mission.
But don't tell her what it's called.
Just fuck with her. I swear to God, just fuck with her. And if she comes to me and she's like, hey, this person, and I'm like, yeah, cool. I owe them. I owe them a candy box.
I owe them a candy box. Yes.
I've done that before. I've sent her, like, Mexican candy so that she can have her, shipmates, even though they're not on a boat. I don't know.
Hmm.
Try them, and they're all like, "This, y'all eat this shit?" And she's like, "Yeah, that's pretty much all we had."
Yeah, welcome to Arizona,
where our candy is made mostly of salt.
Yep, and Michael always, when he's cooking, he'll salt it to like his liking, and then he'll be like, "Oh, am I fucking kidding?" And then he'll add like double the.
So yeah. Okay, Becca's had either a little too much alcohol or not enough sleep. I don't know which, maybe both.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and cut this now.
Cut it out.
No, like, cut the, like, good night. Hey, Becca, if you want to send us an email, where do you, what do you do?
Casualcasualties@gmail.com. Or check us out on Insta at @casual_casualties_podcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
On the Insta.
Yes. So check us out there. Send us an email. Tell us some of your personal stories. Pretty please. I want to hear from you. I thought I was playing with my audio cord, and it's yours, and you turned your head, and I'm like, oh, it moved.
Ouch, that hurt my head.
Good night.
Bye.
Sleep tight. Don't let your children murder you in your sleep.
Don't let the monsters get you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, wait. Thank you for joining us on our casual crusade.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Yay!